This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
Should the Cubs fans enjoy an easy win over the Pirates or be concerned about Shota Imanaga leaving in the sixth with leg cramps? Is it possible to do both? What did you think of the Cubs' explanation?
Yeah, you know, I felt relieved about that because concern about someone's knee, especially a pitcher, you know, you need your knees. You need your legs to be under you. I know it's about being able to pitch in your arm and slot, all the rest of it, but you got to have your body right. And his body wasn't right, and that was disconcerting, to say the least. But, yeah, the Cubs' explanation was fine. I think that Ron Coomer's explanation was excellent, and I wish I had taken the time to sync up. But I don't want to be mean about it. It just was bothersome that he got it so much more correct than you know. Just don't scare someone. Yeah, my mind was racing, and I was thinking, like, who is the pitcher they can least afford to lose right now? It's got to be him.
Oh,
it's got to be Shota by a mile. And then
he's,
I was like, but who's the player? Like, who is there, a position player that you
Tuck.
Would rate? I know. And
it's
so
a great one.
So you start going through this little mental exercise as you're watching something, and that ruined the easy win over Pittsburgh. I think the Cubs deserve this kind of a series against a team this bad. And I like that they got one game that'll energize you because they got a good pitcher.
It should be enjoyable to have the great win and then worry about Shota. You should be able to do both. This Cub fan could not. I was pacing around the basement. I wanted a piece of information, some little tiny nugget, something. I had to wait for Craig Counsell's post game to feel slightly better about the situation. But now, you know, tomorrow is today. So now I think it's going to be very interesting to hear from Pittsburgh, from our pregame here at 5:05, what is going on? What's the word? How did Shota wake up this morning? How did he return to the park? So these are things you worry about, and it was a lifeless crowd in Pittsburgh last night.
I like that you had words of Craig Counsell that comforted you last night.
Amazing, huh?
That doesn't happen too often, but they did last night. Yeah, you feel better about it because it was only a cramp. You're worried about the arm issue or even the knee being an issue, but this was a victory to enjoy. Maybe it took a little bit longer, delayed gratification, but thank goodness you're able to enjoy it. The Cubs get back on track. The offense is revived. 4 home runs. Seiya has quite a night, and that was nice to see. Carson Kelly moves into the cleanup spot. What did we talk about yesterday?
All-star Carson.
We talked about moving up to fifth, but I didn't think that they would put Bushy fifth against the lefty. That's why Craig Counsell did it. There is a method to his madness. So he did what we talked about. Move the catcher up, move Dansby Swanson down. Both guys homered.
He must have the Odyssey app.
He must have the Odyssey app, and it works in Pittsburgh. And if he was listening into the in the dugout, we'd have heard it on the broadcast because it was so quiet there at PNC Park. But this was a good victory for the Cubs because they got to use their B team, their B bullpen arm to finish it, the arms to go through the final four innings. Daniel Palencia took forever to get ready. Did that take forever?
He's allowed as long as he wants.
But I thought he could take an hour
exactly.
and a half.
Exactly.
Like, okay. Yeah,
I can take my time? We'll watch this. But whenever a pitcher walks off the mound with a trainer, you don't feel right.
You don't feel right?
Okay, next question.
That's the voice of Ozzie. He'll be answering questions at 8 a.m. How disastrous is the news that 149 hitter Colson Montgomery will be heading to the White Sox complex in Arizona for what looks like a crash course on his disastrous swing in an effort to save his failing career? What does it say to you about the once highly regarded prospect when he's unable to stay at AAA? Do you believe any of this will work?
Well, methinks that the author of this question thinks that this is disastrous. There is a disaster. It doesn't have to be. I think when you take a deep breath, you want to look at this. Look, there's no way to sugarcoat this. This is a real bad development for the development of Colson Montgomery. This is not progress. The hope is that you are taking two steps backward to take one step forward. And that would be the ideal situation. There's very little confidence that's going to happen because this is so unorthodox. But what the White Sox are trying to do here, and talking to some people at the park yesterday and just seeing what the reaction to it, Ryan Fuller came over from Baltimore as a director of hitting. He has done this before. I think it was Cedric Mullins, perhaps. But there have been other examples of guys who have gotten this isolated personal instruction. They're hoping to have the same effect on Colson Montgomery so he finds out how to shorten his swing. Ozzie broke it down post-game last night perfectly. He could do this. We'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. The swing is too long. He may be affected by the back, but he's not making contact, and he's not having a plan. He was 4 for his last 38. Oh. The Sox wanted to avoid two demotions in 40 days. That would really wreck a guy's psyche. Sent him to Arizona, tried to get back in a good headspace. He had some success out there during the Arizona Fall League. Who knows, Molly? It's a hard thing to take. It doesn't have to be disastrous, even though it's trending in that direction.
I was surprised to see this, to hear this. I thought the White Sox made an error by sending him to the minors in the first place because he just had a bad – I mean, if you base things off of spring training, I mean, King Tuck was going to be a bust, right? I mean, I was worried about, you know, Kyle Tucker not being able to hit. And Coomer's like, don't worry about it, bud. He'll be just fine. And Coomer was right, and I was wrong. But, I mean, this is bad news, to your point, taking two steps back to try to take a step forward. – And I mean, where does he rank now? I mean, where would is he even on the
is he
even
the
on the
top
radar?
100?
Is he on the South of Mendoza?
In baseball, is he on that list? The top 100?
No,
he's not.
No.
Yeah. Look, the question is the answer. How disastrous is the news that 149 hitter Colson Montgomery will be heading to the White Sox complex in Arizona for what looks like a crash course on his disastrous, there's a double disastrous swing. When you get repetitious, it means something snapped and you're not following the rules. In an effort to save his failing career, holy God.
Failing career.
The point of it, though, is what's interesting is...
Loaded question.
You often will have a guy that you're trying to find your level. Okay, you did fine here. Can you do fine here? Okay, now we move you to here because we want to get you to there. Now you're going to what? Start demoting a guy to find a level he can compete at? Let's start again. And as you say, that will ruin his confidence. This is a desperate move for a player in a desperate situation. It's that simple. The guy had been awarded the starting shortstop job for the White Sox. That's what he's supposed to be doing, and he couldn't get it. He couldn't win the job he was given. And now they're going to desperately try to fix his desperate swing so the poor desperate player
is that the new word
can get back
disastrous
up to
and desperate
desperate
remember
White
Sox. Do you remember the Birmingham project?
Oh my God,
this is just another city in Alabama, the Montgomery project.
Oh my God, right, there you go. This is a one-man Birmingham. Oh, disaster.
I'm not going to take any questions.
Did White Sox GM Chris Getz sound like a guy ready to promote Tim Elko to the major league club after his power burst in Charlotte?
He's hitting the ball very hard, actually harder than he's always hit the ball hard. He's actually increased how hard he's hitting it, and most importantly, how often he's doing it. I believe he's certainly leading the organization in home runs, and I think he's at the top in minor league baseball. Tim's a special guy. He's got tremendous leadership qualities. He impacts others beyond just himself. He's a pretty good defender at first base. He's putting together all-around quality at bats. So we're really happy with the development of Tim and know at some point, he could join us here in Chicago.
What did you hear there?
Well, I mean, he said nice things about him. You know what I heard there? Just reading between the lines, they've got a guy that's ready to go. And for whatever reason, they're going to try to give Andrew Vaughn one last shot at it. And he talked about how unlucky Vaughn is. This is their new word for him, how unlucky. Hitting the hell out of the ball, just right at people. Oh, guys make spectacular defense plays every time he comes to bat. Otherwise, he'd be leading the league in home runs too. It's just tiresome. Bring this guy up already. The guy is, I mean, if you're not listening to what they are telling you, this guy is screaming, I belong on your horrible team. I will give power to your two-run baseball team, sir. Let me come up there and hit my home runs at the major league level. And maybe you can win more than seven games. Maybe you can get the 10. I don't know what they're waiting on. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's a head-scratcher. What I heard, though, the key word was someday. Someday, Tim Elko. I mean, is it going to have to take an injury to going Vaughn in order to get him up here? Because I don't know what you'd be waiting for.
Well, I think that when you look at last night, Tim Elko had two more hits, and he's doing interviews on the Charlotte bench or showing during the CHSN broadcast, and he looks like a guy who's ready to be promoted. I wonder what they're waiting for, and I think it's in – the only thing you can figure out is that maybe Chris Getz is wanting to promote prospects or wanting to develop prospects who are going to be here when the Sox are more competitive, or they want to – Tim Elko's 26 years old, and perhaps that they are being real hesitant or overly patient because they don't consider him part of their future plans. If he were 22 years old, I think he would be here by now. That's just a fact of prospect life. But when you are struggling to the extent that the Sox are struggling, they're running out of reasons not to promote him. And when you have Steve Stone sitting in the booth talking about Tim Elko after the interview and saying, for an organization that needs power, there it is. And then Steve Stone later saying, after John Schriffen said something about being blocked at first base or working with Andrew Vaughn, Steve Stone again pointing out, there is a designated hitter spot. When you have Steve Stone basically saying it without stressing it, that this should happen, it really should happen.
You know, I mean, Vaughny is 27 years old.
Right.
He's older than this kid. I get it, David. I understand that. But, I mean, Vaughn's not producing anything, and Elko is ready to hit.
I think that's a great question.
All right. Do you believe Ozzie Trapillo will play left tackle? Do you expect him to line up there immediately with Braxton Jones unlikely to play in the offseason and perhaps not until well into training camp?
I'm not quite sure what to think of Ozzie Trapillo after talking to Bill O'Brien yesterday, after talking to some people who believe that he has the footwork to make the transition to left tackle. in the NFL. I don't like those kinds of experiments at the NFL level. I think that if you have achieved a level of consistency as a college right tackle or college anything, that and you should probably play that position at the NFL because it translates the quickest and easiest and it provides the most seamless transition. That said, I mean, if you're the Bears, I would probably look at the Darnell Wright moving to left tackle more than I would moving a rookie there because of what I just described. You want certainty, but at the same time, that potentially weakens two positions. And I don't know if you want to do that. This offensive line conundrum, I think, is rooted in the uncertainty over Braxton Jones's health. And until we know a little bit more about that, when he will be available, then I think that will help answer the question. But you did draft a right tackle, an offensive tackle, in the second round. Maybe they don't know yet how he will look, and Ben Johnson has his own ideas about that. But Bill Bryan acknowledged there are subtleties that are significant when you're playing both sides at that position, at the offensive tackle spot. So, thing is, we can think we know, but we don't. And I don't even know if the Bears are sure yet where his best spot will be.
Well, I think that might be it, right? The Bears may not know. But we had fun with this yesterday, Mully. I'm just going to keep going to this.
Okay.
It could become a little bit of a running bit. The four-letter network, they have depth charts for all the NFL teams.
Yep.
And right now, your starting right tackle is Ozzie Trapillo, and backing him up on the second team is Darnell Wright, according to the four-letter network. I don't know that they'll actually let us know this. I don't know that they'll let reporters' eyes on this. But I would not be surprised up at Halas Hall when they get back up there for their next little voluntary or three-day mini camp or whatever it is, if Darnell Wright is taking the reps that Braxton Jones is missing out on, and they're seeing what exactly Ozzie Trapillo looks like as a right tackle in this league. So that would not surprise me. But David, I do agree that seems like, you know, moving two guys around to solve a problem, which usually ends up being a bigger problem.
Well, you know, if he's going to be a swing tackle, then he's going to have to learn to play some left tackle for an emergency. So I think he opens his career as a left tackle. You've got a starting right tackle. You spent a lot of draft capital on him, and your reputation is riding on him too. So I would say you can't get rid of you can't bench or somehow have this guy starting ahead of your right tackle. Are you moving him to left? I wouldn't be in a hurry to do that. I would look at the guy at left tackle. You know, how tall is he?
6'8", 316 pounds.
Okay, don't you worry about guys getting their knees rolled. I mean, I'm not making it up. The taller players are kind of sometimes have some leg problems because if guys are rolling in a pile.
But he hasn't had an injury history, so I guess that I would say no. I don't worry that much
about
that.
There are people that do just worry about that. Who's the kid the Bears had that...
Mark Colombo.
Colombo wound up in Dallas, but he suffered that injury.
Sure.
And they were mad at Big Cat because I think it was Big Cat that fell on his leg. I mean, it's just that happens in the NFL. That's why you worry about the spindly guys, you know, tall guys. But I would line him up and let him play some left tackle. Why not? Who's your left tackle? If Kieran Amagaji has an injury or isn't ready to go, if he hasn't improved himself.
So even though it's a premium position, you would prefer to keep Darnell Wright on the right side
Okay. I would, personally.
Yeah. That's a conversation, though.
I think it's definitely a conversation.
It's one they would have to have.
And who's more likely to be able to do it.
But
for your camp, when you're just getting going, you can give the guy a ton of reps. You can work him at a position that he might have to play in emergency, and you can see what he can do, and you can make a judgment.
Player input is also important in a conversation
like
this. Darnell Wright's comfort level, it should be your priority.
Yes. Yeah.
It's a good question.
What is your take on Rick Tocchet deciding to leave Vancouver Canucks, meaning there are now 8 NHL teams speaking and seeking new coaches? Are the Blackhawks a desirable spot, or will it take too long to attract the top candidates?
You know, Tocchet was with Vancouver. Do we know anyone from Vancouver? Is there anybody from that part of the world that might be a huge important person to worry about in terms of the Blackhawks? I don't know if the I honest to God do not know if the Blackhawks job is a desirable one. I think they got a lot of young talent. I think they're going to be a really fast team. I also have no idea how their depth is going to be, how good they're going to be, how coaches like to put groups together. You like to have people who have done something before. You like to have a middle class, right? You don't want just old age and young age. You would like to have some veteran good in their prime players. If you were coaching, you want to win. So I'm very curious to see who they get. You know, the college option seemed like the way to go for the Blackhawks with their college age kids, but I don't know that that's really correct. I think that I think some of these available candidates, they need to look at and they need to figure out what people can do to aid the development and progress of younger players. And I'll be very curious to see who they hire. But I really want to know if there's anyone out there that's dying to get this job.
I think this is a great thing to talk about. I mean, it's an Original Six team. They've had recent success. They have, it seemed like, one of the top young talents in the league. Yet a guy who's making $700,000 a year turns down a multi-million, multi-year contract to stay in college? I mean, huh? I'm just, it's a head scratcher. I can't wait to hear what Chelios thinks about this.
David Carl turned down a multi-year, multi-million dollar offer from the Blackhawks to stay at Denver. If he accepts a job at another NHL team, it will be very embarrassing for the Blackhawks. If he stays at college and he's more comfortable with that environment, you understand it. But the Blackhawks are at a crossroads. This could potentially be a crisis. If you are not a desirable destination any longer, then you have to take a good hard look at why. And you have to start to ask really hard questions about, can you close a deal? Do you have enough presence in the room when you're trying to sell your organization to somebody who is available and qualified as a head coach? So without David Carl, you've got to move on, and you've got to move on quickly. Rick Tocchet should be on that list. He is an NFL retread, as they say, if you put him in a category, but he also was qualified, and he's leaving Vancouver. You look at another possibility. The top name on anybody's list in the NHL among those openings is Mike Sullivan. He's got Stanley Cups in his past and his resume. He's the most qualified coach available from the Penguins. He also was part of the Hawk organization back in 2015. I think he's more likely to land at a team ready to win now, New York, Boston, or Philly. But you have to at least explore that, because you are an Original Six team in Chicago, a great hockey city when things are going well. Then you've got Jay Woodcroft, the former Oilers coach. He makes sense. Jeff Blashill, the former Red Wings coach. He makes sense to talk to. Todd Nelson, who's got three Calder Cups as an AHL coach. He makes sense. There's five right there that you have to start with on a short list. That would be mine. You have to ask some tough questions, but you still can end up with a favorable outcome, because this still, with all that talent, can be a good job.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Do you like the White Sox new Bulls uniform or City Connect uniforms based on the Bulls?
We had Brooks Boyer on the Chicago Lead yesterday. I thought he was going to ask me to model it. He's very proud of it. They are very Bullsy. There are reasons why they're very Bullsy. And this is all over Major League Baseball. You see this happening. Two things come to mind. Yeah, I'm not. We talked about this a little bit, and they are going to wear them. Luis Robert Jr. looks terrific in it, by the way. I wondered if he could hit the three, because he looks like
very elegant looking man.
Very great, comfortable.
Tall, thin athlete. He should, if the baseball thing doesn't work out.
I know they had to do this because of MLB initiative, but I do. Your uniforms, your city uniforms, the Black Friday Southside city uniforms were great. They were the best in baseball. Why change that? But I know they had to. And number two, at least they're not yellow.
Yeah, that Boston uniform
like the Red Sox
was horrible.
I mean, I don't hate it, believe it or not. And if the purpose of these are to sell merch, these are going to sell.
Yeah.
These are not items, even if it was a Cubs thing. I don't buy this type of stuff. But I see why they would sell. I think people will gravitate to this stuff. I have seen a lot of my friends that are Cub fans that have already bought the new City Connect jersey.
Because of the
sweatshirts, the hoodies, the caps, all of it. I even saw guy with the hooded short sleeve sweatshirt.
You mean the Cubs version of it?
Cubs version
of it.
Those
really powder blue things?
Yeah, the Expo ripoff that they did. Yep. Mm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think Brooks can be proud of it because it's going to move. Merch is going to move, and that's the goal with this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I love Brooks. Personally, I think I'm kind of got a ruddy complexion. I'm having a hard time with the pink right now that I'm wearing. It kind of, I wear red and I look like either deeply embarrassed or extremely angry. It's just sadly my natural coloring. A lot of people think that I'm angry and
you think
I'm coming
you look calmer in blue?
I think I do. I look at me. The red. Thank
Sorry,
you.
Something
that,
I said.
I worry that if I put on the red Bulls uniform that the Sox now are wearing, I would just look like a guy who's really mad at the team, and I'm not going for that look. I wear it naturally.
But you like them. You like these, well, not I, on you, but on others.
I think they're great. And if I didn't look like me, I would wear it. I just think, unfortunately, that I would look either deeply embarrassed or very angry, which is kind of how you look when I watch the Sox.
All of these city-wide or City Connect uniforms are kind of softball-y.
Yeah.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
The you Cubs, know, the Red Sox.
It's really interesting. You know, the whole point, and they do it very well in the Premier League in England, they just want to sell jerseys. So they're constantly going through. They have like a home jersey, like they have your normal home in a way, and then they have this other jersey. Every year they change their jerseys. And it's crazy how that can work. At one point, United had these like gray jerseys. The players claimed they couldn't see anybody in them. They couldn't pick out players. They just would blend into the crowd. So they called them like the invisible uniform. And next thing you know, they're on sale for like $5 because no one would ever wear them. You want to be seen. I think these are red. These will look good. I think it depends on who you are. But it just reminds you too much about the troubles a couple different franchises are having.
It does.